92.5 The River, and Trey Anastasio is here, and his self-titled solo debut CD is in stores as of today. And don't forget, Trey Anastasio will be at the Twitter Center on Friday, June 14th. Let's give, we have a studio audience here. Let's give a big welcome to Trey Anastasio. Trey, it's good to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Congrats on the solo debut.
Thank you.
That's almost like a misnomer in a way, because you have a lot of musicians on here.
I think about 30 total.
Wow, yeah.
Many of them from Vermont or surrounding areas. A couple of people from Boston, actually.
Yeah, Dana Colley.
Yeah.
Morphine is on there.
Yeah, played on a couple of tunes, two or three tunes. And Russ Lawton, our drummer, actually is from the Boston area.
Cool.
So.
So, and how many people in your Trey Anastasio band?
Right now, 10. It was going to be 8 until about a week ago. I hired Peter Applebaum, who played with Hieroglyphics Orchestra and has played with Don Cherry, and he's a great tenor player, flute player. So the horn section is now 5-piece. And then Ciro Batiste, who's... He's a Brazilian percussionist.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the road now.
He's not from Vermont.
No, he's from Brazil.
and he's worked with Sting.
Yep.
And Paul Simon. And
Herbie Hancock. And
Modesky Martin and Wood.
Modesky Martin and Wood, yeah.
How'd you hook up with him?
I actually hooked up with him when I sat in with Modesky Martin and Wood one night, and he was playing. Everybody in the band has been very organic. Most of the people in the band are people that I had some kind of experience with at some point in time, and when Fish went on hiatus, this was sort of my chance. So an example of that would be our keyboard player, Ray Pachkowski, is a guy who used to play with a group called Viper House, yeah, who probably played around here, very good band. And I sat in with him one night, and we were kind of across the stage from each other, and instant chemistry, you know, this sea of horns, we were... Yeah. Connecting. And so when I came off stage, we talked to each other and said, we've got to be in a band someday together.
So
now this is that chance. So
excellent. So most musicians, they kind of like to be in a band with maybe 3 or 4, 5 people.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, why do you like to be to have so many members in your band?
Really, because it's a musical decision. I mean, I kind of hear music in that way. I was lucky enough to have a chance to do an orchestral piece right after Fish stopped. And so that was working with 85 musicians. Mm. And I enjoyed so much orchestrating with all those extra voices and sonic qualities. So, I mean, it's a dream that I've had. And we do as much as we can with Fish. I mean, people who are familiar with Fish music probably hear that, you know, a lot of times I've written parts that are 4-part pieces, and I make Paige play one part on his left hand and one part on his right hand, and Fish is always doing something with the kick drum, and you know, we're singing parts, and so it just, you get a lot more colors, you know.
That's excellent.
So,
well, congrats to you. I'm so glad that you're able to put all these ideas that you've had into motion. That just seems so exciting.
It is.
Yeah. Can we get a song out of you right now?
Yeah.
All right.
Start with this instrumental piece that on the album has been turned into an orchestral piece. It's called Radon Balloon, and I'll play it as a solo acoustic piece.
Excellent. Here is Trey Anastasio live in the River Music Hall. Yeah. Trey Anastasio live in the River Music Hall. Trey, that sounded wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So the new album, Trey Anastasio, the solo debut, is in record stores as of today. Let's talk a little bit about the album. Musically, how is this different from... We talked about the orchestra that you have, uh-huh, and the size of the band.
Yeah.
Musically, what are some of the genres or just the musicality that's different on this album that you wouldn't find, let's say, on a Fish album?
Well, here's the thing. The main thing that I learned from the first 17 years of Fish, what we tried to do was make up for whatever, you know, lack of individual talent by emphasizing our group sound. Mm-hmm. So we spent many, many hours in practice trying to create an atmosphere musically where all four of us would have a voice and our strengths would show. That's basically what Fish is to me, is the chemistry of those four people. And so I tried to take that philosophy and use it in starting this band. Mm-hmm. I had a general musical concept, which is that I wanted a band that was a dance band that was very, very energetic and somewhere between the bookends of like African King Sunny Ade style music, not stylistically, but the theory that there would be many people playing at the same time, creating a big sound.
Yeah.
And then swing bands on the left side, again, not stylistically. This is obviously a rock band, but basically putting it into my style, which would be, I don't know, jamming guitar, lead, rock, but with some harmonic and elegance and sophistication coming from the swing world, and a large group concept coming from the African world. And then when I actually took that concept and started the band, I tried to use what I learned with Fish, and that each person that joined the band, I would sit with them for at least a day or two alone and find out everything about what they knew how to play.
Mm.
You know, are you good at this kind of run? Are you, you know, then if I had a musical idea, like I wanted to go, I might use the trombone player's vocabulary so that those people were working at their highest level. That's the way the band came together.
Sounds very, obviously well thought out and very thorough. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You do have a marriage of composition and your wonderful improvisation.
Yeah.
What percentage on this album, great CD, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
What percentage of improvisation is there on the
album? That's an interesting thing because there are about 30 musicians on the album. Now, some people improvise naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are much better at reading. Some people I found I can sing a musical idea to them and they can play it. And the three examples would be the best song to look at that marriage would be this tune called Last Tube.
Mm-hmm.
In it, you've got Nicholas Payton, who's I think possibly the greatest jazz trumpet player walking the planet right now. I was incredibly lucky to have him play on the album. He improvises, so I just kind of said to him, well, I'd really like something here. You know, and he just played. It sounds like he's battling with this bass clarinet player who I got from who plays at the Vermont Symphony, who doesn't improvise at all. So I wrote his chart out and put it in front of him.
Right, right.
On the album, they're doing battle with each other. One of them's written out, one of them's improvising. You know what I mean? Our trombone player is 19 years old. He's less experienced than some of the other musicians, but his ear, he's like a idiot savant or something. I mean, his ear is incredible. I've never heard anybody with such a good ear. So with him, I just sing the stuff to him. So an example would be on Push On Till the Day, there's this line that goes, I literally just walked in and said, play this. And he'd just do it almost as fast as I can sing it. He'll write it down and then he'll play it.
Incredible.
So you just kind of, it's all mixed in there. Most of the stuff, once that is done, is pretty much live. So,
was it harder to attain this improvisational creativity with a whole bunch of people than it was with just a four-member band? It must have been.
Well, that's the challenge, right? So you try to take, what I'm doing right now, at this point in my life, is trying to, I feel like it's like a school period of my life. So I'm trying to pick up as many skills as possible. That was, doing the youth symphony thing was 4 months of writing, orchestrating and writing and working with the conductor and learning about, you know, when you ask a clarinet player to play something, there's certain limitations of that instrument.
Yeah.
There's a break in the middle. You can't write a line across the break, for instance. You pick these things up so that it all kind of centers in my barn where we record. When people come in there, I want it to be as free-flowing as possible, so that that isn't a problem. That's the goal. But I think the way for it to not be a problem is to work with a lot of people, young people and old people and experienced people, and you learn things just about people in general and how to make, the whole goal is to make people comfortable.
Mm.
You know? And I find that almost everybody has something to offer, and that there's ways. The album just took shape as it went along. I mean, you hear those, the singers, right?
Right.
Lisa Fisher sings that Money, Love, and Change duet with, on the thing.
Yep.
You know, she came in to do one little thing, which was the backup vocals for, Ether Sunday, the last song on the, I wanted some, ooh.
Yeah.
And then I hit it off with her. She's such an amazing woman. She was there. And I was like, oh, you know, oh, all of a sudden, oh, boy, you could do this well, too. Let's do this. And yeah. It just kind of, all of a sudden, the album changed.
So
that's kind of the way it went. It was very, very, it was like a river.
it really does sound just a mixture of we're gonna save that, Trey. We're gonna put that on tape. No, it just sounds like this wonderfully organized and spontaneous and synergistic creative musical mushroom. That
yeah.
It's
like organized chaos or something. I don't know.
Man, Trey Anastasio live in the River Musical. So, what's the second song you're gonna do for us?
Maybe I'll do a live again.
That'd be good. I just
started trying to learn it on acoustic guitar. So
we love it. Here it is. Trey Anastasio live in the River Music Hall.
Quietly you say to me, the time has come for you to be alive again. So you say and turn away, and you must wait another day outside again. Summer's coming and I'd like a review. 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 Like all the other fields, and then your waiting might make sense. As if the time spent on the fence, waiting for the shoe to fall, could stop the crumbling of your walls. Summer's coming and I'd like a review. 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 Quietly you say to me, the time has come for you to be alive again. Say to me, the time has come for you to be alive again. The time has come for you to be alive again. The time has come for you to be alive again. The time has come for you.
alive again. The time has come for you to be alive again.
Incredible version of that song. Trey Anastasio, Alive Again, live in the River Music Hall this afternoon. It's 92.5 The River. Thank you for that, Trey.
Great.
Yeah. The CD is called Trey Anastasio. It's his solo debut. It's in stores as of today. There are 12 songs in here. There's a great variety in these songs. Styles, tempos, moods. Just a kaleidoscope. Great, great variety. Yet they really do flow together really well. And I understand you had 30 songs, you had 30 candidates, you picked 12 out of those 30.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to pick 12 out of those 30 songs?
I've been really trying to let go of a lot of thinking that is in that way. And the whole time we were making the album, it was very much a letting go of stuff. Everything seems to reveal itself to you if you just don't worry about it. And so it was more like we would get very excited about a song, and I produced this album with Bryce Goggin, who produced Space Hog, I think, and Pavement, and some of my favorite bands. And he did Farmhouse, that last Fish album. So we have a great working relationship. And we would just kind of go up there and not worry about it. And one day we'd think, hey, we haven't worked on such and such a song for a while. And we think, well, guess it's not on the album then. And it went right to the last day. Because I just found from playing live so much that if you kind of let go, stuff will take on a natural order.
Makes total sense.
And so that's pretty much the way it came together. I did. It was very, very important to me that an album to me is I need to be able to listen to an album in one sitting.
Yeah.
And so the sequence is very important.
Yeah.
It's supposed to all go together, and there was a distinct thought in my mind that the thing is divided into two halves, with the second half starting at this tune At the Gazebo.
Mm-hmm.
From that point on, it's supposed to be one kind of long musical journey, a little bit more of a manifestation of my attempt to bring together my love of composition, improvisation, orchestral sounds, and more rock kind of sounds. So all from that point on, if you listen to it, it all kind of flows together, and it's like the album deconstructs. It starts off a little bit more as a rock album,
yeah,
and then it starts to deconstruct, and that last tube is sort of the where it all comes together in my mind.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely flows. Definitely flows. Excellent. Recently, you backed up B.B. King. I guess you and a band called The Roots.
Yeah.
Backed up B.B. King for a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like working with B.B. King? What's he like?
So incredible that it took me about, I think, a month, you know, for it to hit me. And I woke up one morning and be like, oh, my God, I played with B.B. King. You know? And while it was happening, I couldn't even. But, you know, it's funny because actually, I could say the same thing for The Roots, by the way, who are really one of my favorite bands. They're playing in Las Vegas on this tour with my band, because I loved playing with them so much. But we got to, they were doing a number of takes of this one song for the movie, and in between takes, we had these jams with myself, BB, and a couple of the guys from The Roots, like their mouth percussion guy. Mm-hmm. So just a groove and two guitars. That was the most incredible part. I mean, just standing there, just boom, doom, doom, just listening to B.B. King. It was overwhelming. I don't know.
Is he a serious guy to work with, or is he sort of a light, funny guy?
Both. Yeah. Simultaneously maintaining his childlike quality in the playing itself, but very, very serious when myself and a couple of the guys from The Roots went back to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to do his song. And we kind of said, oh, yeah, we worked up a little bit of a weirder, you know, arrangement or something of it. And he's like, well, why don't you guys just go out there and play that then. You know, I don't know. It was kind of reminded, you know, reminded us in a very subtle way that, it was great. I mean, very open to having young, you know, encouraging young musicians to play with him and stuff. He's at a level that it's tough to really articulate how much you can learn from just sitting there with him. The same thing happened with when I was with Fish. We did about at least three, I think, tours with Santana. Mm. And Carlos had myself and then some of the other guys come up and play a couple of songs with him just about every night.
Wow.
And as the years have gone by, I've thought to myself more and more, I mean, there was no reason for him to do that. I mean, nobody knew who we were at the time. And, I mean, it was purely out of the goodness of his heart and out of the desire to teach somebody younger how to play the guitar. And it's gotten to the point now, it's another one of those things where the years had to go by for me to really realize the impact of that. It's always on my mind when I'm playing now. It's crept in more and more that I'll be playing and I'm always thinking about Carlos, because I would sit there with him and the way he would play a note, the kind of soulful way that he would dig into a note,
mm-hmm.
I don't even think I got it at the time. I just sat there and played with him and kind of got over my nervousness and was in awe.
Yeah.
But now, as the years go by, it sticks with me. And when he had that big hit a couple of years ago, yeah. I can tell you from personal experience that was pure karma. That was like, I thought that was the most amazing thing in the world, because that guy is one of the most incredible human beings I've ever met, and to have us to teach us and Fish how music should be played in that way when we were the warm up band, he didn't need to do that, and now it's kind of going, his kind of energy is going on. I really did think that when it happened. I've never been so happy about anyone having a hit record before. And he deserves every accolade that he gets.
I mean, he's pure class. B.B. King strikes me as
same way.
Yeah, what I've heard. Yeah, he's just a true class individual and a gentleman.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, you kind of realize later, you know, it seeps in. Just that
delayed reaction.
It's a delayed reaction. Both those guys.
We're chatting with Trey Anastasio live in the River Music Hall this afternoon, 92.5 The River. So the third song from Trey. What's it going to be?
I could do a new song.
That'd be good. New is good.
Yeah, let me do that.
This is not on the album?
No, but I'll be playing it live. So
Excellent.
Be on the tour.
All right. So we can
If you
hear
really
that.
Want to hear everything on the album, you have to buy the album.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. And it's in stores today, by the way.
Hold on.
That's okay. And by the way, Trey's going to be at the Tweeter Center June 14th. Just in case you were not aware of the date. So.
Sorry about this again. This will only take 1 second.
That's okay. Trey is tuning.
Trey's tuning his
guitar. Trey is tuning. We have a studio water. Are you guys having a good time, by the way? You guys are enjoying, Trey? Yeah. Yeah. This is amazing. Okay. Trey Anastasio live at 92.5 The River.
started ablaze from one tiny spark I didn't even detect. She loved the light, was dismayed by the dark, the stars though she seemed to respect. The faint light that flutters at night to the earth would land in her eyes and collect. Luminous creatures she'd find in the surf I never thought to inspect. Pebbles and marbles like things on my mind seem to get lost and harder to find. When I am alone, I am inclined, if I find a pebble in sand, to think that it fell from my hand. Ideas, planted the seed, but she never stopped to reflect. The course that she's on, wherever it leads, I never would redirect. Pebbles and marbles, like words from a friend, make us hold tight, but are lost in the end. When we're alone, we all seem to tend, if we find a marble in dust, to wish someone left it for us. Pebbles and marbles like things on my mind seem to get lost and harder to find. When I am alone, I am inclined, if I find a pebble in sand, to wish that it fell from my hand. Pebbles and marbles like things on my mind. Pebbles and marbles like things on my mind.
The River, Trey Anastasio live in the River Music Hall. I love that song.
Oh, thanks.
That is a great song. Brand new.
That's the next album.
The next album. Good, on the next album. And you said you're going to play that live at the Tweeter Center.
We have a bunch of new stuff. I'm really excited about it. I mean, you know, it'll be all the stuff and a bunch of new stuff.
You're just incredibly prolific. I mean, they just keep
it's
churning.
It's like a disease. It's a gift. Watch some TV sometimes.
It's a gift. It's a gift. All right, so listen, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you some fish stuff. I got to ask you some fish stuff. Yeah. I feel like you know, people are prodding me, even though they're not. I just sense that asking some fish stuff. As people know, it's been a year and a half since you guys went on hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And to quote you now, you all had the same concept. If you were going to improve as musicians, you had to go out in the world and live your lives and play with other people, which obviously you are.
Specifically people that are better than us. I mean, that was the main thing. I mean, the people in my band right now are for the most part, my musical heroes.
Hmm.
I could just start listing them off, but just starting with, you know, the bass player, Tony Markelis. He's played with Paul Butterfield. He knows everything about roots music, New Orleans music, rhythm and blues. This was not Fish's strong suit. As far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. That's if you ask any of the four of us, we would have said that. We always thought we were better at playing in seven than we were in four, you know. So you got to do that.
Tell us what all the other members in Fish are doing.
Everybody's thriving, as far as I'm concerned. Mike is doing probably the thing that I'm almost the most excited about. He's doing an album with Leo Kottke.
Yeah.
Who is my favorite acoustic guitar player. And, Mike and I shared a passion for Leo Kottke over the years. We kind of had two people that we both were gaga over for all the years of Fish. Leo Kottke and Alison Krauss were kind of our two.
Wow.
Like, oh my God, Leo Kottke. And so we called him, I'm doing an album with Leo Kottke. Wow.
Incredible.
So it's great. I mean, he's learning a lot from that. Paige also has started his own band, Vita Blue, playing with Russell Batiste, who's the drummer for the Funky Meters, and Teal Burbridge, and
The Allman Brothers, right?
Allman Brothers. Yeah. You know, he's played with a lot of people. Yeah. This was a really cool thing for Paige. He's never, that's not his normal role.
Hmm. Is he enjoying himself?
Himself? He's having the time of his life. Yeah, he just got back from tour, yeah. So, it's, you know, that's just a great thing for him. And Fish is about to put out an album that I personally love.
John Fishman.
He kind of co-produced this album with his group Pork Tornado.
Pork Tornado.
Yeah.
Great name. And you guys are all still friends. How often do you correspond with each other?
Probably too much at this point because, you know, yesterday, for example, you know, I don't know, I was on the phone for about 2 hours with Fish in the morning and then two or 3 hours at night. We went our separate ways for a while. That's kind of starting to happen more now. But it's there were other things that there was a lot of, you know, on a personal note, I do enjoy writing, moving forward very quickly and writing a lot of music. And I think that was something that made Fish an exciting band to see live, I thought, because mm-hmm. every time you go out, there's going to be all this new, there'll be maybe an album, but there's always going to be 10 new tunes that you debuted and people. And it got to the point for some reason that we've now, I don't think it was really something as a personal thing among the four of us, but it just was getting, it was very, we needed a break. I mean, and you know what I was talking before about how things kind of have a natural, if you let go, everything will reveal itself.
Exactly.
We felt, honestly, that we did this big Cypress show in New Year's Eve, 1999 to 2000, mm-hmm. and we all felt in some way that was the pinnacle of a certain path that we had taken. And then at that point, there started to be, I mean, it was literally, I walked off stage and Fish and I looked at each other. We were like, we should just stop right now. Because it just was so incredible. I mean, for us at least, and I feel like for everybody else, I mean, it was just such an incredible night. And it really was we had been doing these big events. It all led up to that. And then we still had a couple more, another year or something like that. And that year was a great, we felt a great year because we felt like the jams and our personal connection were really going in a good direction, but we felt like we were starting to sort of walk through the old tunes, like without It was like a framework that had been conceived in like 1992 or 93 right. that we were still
get a little old.
It was just being realistic, and I feel like in a certain way it's been hard for people to understand this, but this was out of respect for Phish from the four of us. We are so respectful of what happened in that 17-year period that we absolutely did not want to be trouncing around the country, you know, playing a half-assed version of it. Always felt in some way, at least to us, cutting edge. At least we felt like every time we went on stage something was going to happen, and it just, this was the only solution in our eyes, and at this point in time I can tell you absolutely we are. And you know, you can ask any of the guys, it absolutely was the right decision. Yeah. I mean, when I think about what's happened in the last year, I have more respect now for Phish than I ever did, that I got in a band that had four people that were smart enough to know that at that point in time. And you know, look what's happened in the last year for everybody. So or year and a half, you know, whatever it's been. And that being said, I we don't have any specific plans yet to start, except to say that I guarantee that, you know, when we find ourselves playing together, it'll be because we're dying to, yeah. not for any other reason. That's it.
Totally understandable.
So
totally understandable.
That's kind of where it's at with that right now.
Are there times, private moments, even though this is not what you want to do right now, are there times where you just get in moods where you say, yeah, like, I wish I could play with these guys?
There are. It was, for me, because I've done the most, probably, of anyone, there's all kinds of little hints, but now it's really, I'm actually getting further and further away from it, and mm-hmm. kind of, it's a process of finding out who you are outside of, I equate it to, like, I mean, these are my best friends, my closest brothers, mm-hmm. who I love more than anyone on the earth, you know, but, you know, aside from, you know, my family and my kids. But imagine, like, your high school buddies, right? Okay, imagine if you were in a bus with your high school buddies for 17 years.
Right.
And you still were hanging out with them. The problem is that it's very difficult to grow
yeah.
as a person and change because of the jokes and the... I mean, there's something really incredible about that, but at the same time, it can be a little confining.
You got to leave the net. I have no trouble, and I know there are some fans that have trouble understanding this, maybe. But to me, I have no trouble understanding what you're saying. You got to leave the nest. You got to grow. You got to spread your wings, and you don't want to spoil what the beauty you had previously. You want to keep that beauty in its place, and still respect one another, and not end up hating one another.
Yeah, and I don't even think it would. I don't even think that would be possible at because, you know, I mean, I would.
But you want to spread your wings. You want to grow. You want to try new things.
Yeah, you can't. You know,
and just yeah.
You can't. You can't really, like. Let's say you walk in wearing like a different shirt or something. You know what I mean? Like, you just. You can't. Like, in the context, it's like, oh, where'd you get that shirt? You
know? No. Trey, I understand what you're saying. I think everybody in this room really understands. You explain it so well.
So,
well, listen, you know something? I think Phish fans should know, and it's obvious to me, and I think everybody in this room, that you are so happy doing what you're doing. You're growing, you're creating, you're making great music, and everybody else in Phish is doing the same thing, and you're all happy, and that's what's got to matter. And so I'm happy for you, and I'm happy for everybody in the band, and I am so happy that you came here to the River Music Hall.
Well, it's a great time. Thank you.
It was great talking with you, and thank you for the music, and let's hear it for Trey Anastasio. Trey, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Again, the album is called Trey Anastasio. His self-titled debut is in stores as of today. His show will be at the Tweeter Center June 14th. Thanks for coming
All right,
to the River,
thanks.
Trey.